This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. A week after Republican Georgia Governor Nathan Deal outlined his priorities in his State of the State message, a think tank that analyzes the budget is out with a look at Georgia's financial picture. The Georgia Budget and Policy Institute is issuing the first of a series of reports on different parts of the state budget. Alan Essig is the executive director of the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute. He had experience with budgets during some of the Democratic administrations in Georgia. Alan Essig, welcome back.
Thank you.
We are looking at an economy that's getting a little bit better. State revenues are coming in a little more. So the governor is saying, okay, let's take the first big extra pot of money we have, about $500 million, and put that into K through 12 education. Is there anything either fiscally or from a policy point of view wrong with that?
Oh, not at all. And I applaud the governor for having that as a priority. And not only putting the money in, but putting the money in the way that's probably the best use for the local systems to take advantage of and use. But you know, for the context of the $500 million number, a good chunk of that is the status quo. It's to pay for enrollment growth, and it's to pay for teachers' retirement obligations. There's about $315 million of that, which is a good chunk of money, that the governor has invested into the funding formula. And the funding formula has been short about $1 billion a year over the last 5 years. And that has caused the schools to cut the number of school days, to have furlough days, to have larger class sizes and all of that. So the governor investing the money, you know, that $300 million back in the formula will help with some of those cuts. But it's, you know, even with that $300 million, there's still going to be about a $750 million austerity cut still in the base budget to the funding formula. So it doesn't solve all of the funding problems, but it's about a 30% down payment on the cuts that have been there.
Are you arguing that the governor could have done more, though, because when you look at the other parts of the budget, you have really an unknown amount as to how much the state will have to pay for Medicaid, depending on whether it decides to expand Medicaid or not? There's also the rainy day fund, which needs to be replenished. And as you implied, there are a lot of pension costs coming up as well. So how much did the governor have really to play with here, despite the improving economy?
That's the kind of the catch-22 and the problem with the budget as it is. And it's not a question of the governor making the right or wrong decision. With the current revenue stream and the current economy, the governor's hands are somewhat tied to what options he has. The bigger question is, you know, we've kind of artificially tied the governor's hands through our tax policy. You know, with the revenue growth, you know, the modest revenue growth that we have, and it's running about 5 to 6%, and most economists project that to run about 5 to 6% over the next couple of years, with the known cost of state government eating up a large chunk of that growth, there's very little money left over to make up for the base cuts in the budget. And the cuts are not only in the K-12 education budget, they're in the Higher Education Board of Regents budget, they're in all the other state agency budgets. State agencies have backlogs of inspections, health, safety, regulatory, economic development. All of that stays the same. There's no money in the budget for those things. And under the, you know, kind of the current revenue structure and the way the economy is going, that's not projected to change much in the next couple of years, which means we may have to look at tax policy to see if we could drive some additional revenues to get back to where we need to be to be able to fund quality education, to make sure we can fund our healthcare system, to make sure that our health, safety, and regulatory agencies, we can do the inspections of elevators we need to do, the inspections of food processing plants and all of those things that have been really cut to the bone the last 5 years.
When you say we have to look at tax policy, are you saying that we have to, even if we end some tax loopholes and so forth and perhaps reform the tax code, that we eventually have to look at tax increases? And if so, where do those go?
I think we need to, you know, to look to modernize the tax system and to drive more revenues into the state budget, which I know is a very controversial thing to say. And there's multiple ways of doing that. It's not necessarily a broad-based tax increase that would accomplish that. There are ways of doing it that could actually give tax cuts to a large percentage of Georgians. Obviously, some others would pay more, but to drive more money in. Before we get to the details of how to do that, I think the biggest question is, do we have the political will to go down that road to look at how to do that? And right now, quite frankly, no. But as the cuts that are in the budget become permanent, and as you know, the larger class sizes and the health, safety, regulatory efforts of the state become second rate, you know, are we willing to live with that for the next 4, 5, 6 years, or do we want to fix that? And I think that's the bigger policy and political question.
But isn't the downside to that, though, the risk that tax increases or net tax increases through some sort of reform of the code would mean that this very gradual economic growth that we're seeing could be in jeopardy, and we'd be right back to where we were before with the revenues still being down for the government, even though you've changed the tax policy?
I think that's a kind of a false argument. You don't have to radically increase rates. You don't have to radically increase taxes to accomplish this. You can do it in a way that makes sense economically, that actually, you know, would help the economy of the state and still raise more revenues. Do we have the political will to have the conversation, or do we just assume the tax code shall not be changed unless it's to cut it further, and then we just have to live within within the cuts that we have already that are impacting services across the board throughout the state?
Alan Essig is the executive director of the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute. He was, during the Barnes administration, a deputy policy director. He was also involved in working with budgets with the General Assembly. Alan Essig, thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate it, and we'll be talking to you about this some more, I'm sure.
Thank you. Appreciate it.